Winter by M. Frost. Snow on the ground, through pines, dark streets, and occasional headlights. This is winter, my love. Today you brave the doctor and the mask, the needles, and the sharp scent of antiseptic that clings to your drug-hazed brain as you doze. When you wake to light, it will be like Persephone emerging into spring. I imagine beneath the snow crocus bulbs sleep. Under the sun, you too will bloom. You will dance and sing and forget the darkness. This is only winter, my love, only a season. For now, hold on to that.
Well, listeners, that's not usually how we begin this segment, is it? But let me introduce you to Deirdre Nealon, PhD, and editor of a literary treasure called The Healing Muse. Good morning, Dr. Nealon.
Good morning, Tricia. It's nice to be here.
Dr. Nealon is from the Center of Bioethics and Humanities at Upstate, and she was reading from the Healing Muse. This is fascinating to me. I never would have guessed a literary piece from a medical university. How did The Healing Muse begin?
Well, that's a great story, and to tell it, I go back 8 years, and we had a wonderful professor here at Upstate Medical University named Bonnie St. Andrews. She also had a PhD in literature, but she had a deep and abiding affection for nurses. That's how she began here, and she used to walk the hospital with nurses, and then when she came into the College of Medicine, she began walking the hospital with various physicians.
Uh-huh.
She wanted to understand what it is they do through her poetic eye. And she realized as she talked to the nurses and the physicians that they had many wonderful stories to tell. And she said, it's a shame we don't hear those stories here at Upstate. So she asked for permission to start a small journal. And she was given that permission. Mm-hmm. And the first year of The Healing Muse, she only solicited pieces from Upstate community. But within a year, it became very obvious that there were many people in the community who wanted to talk. Patients, for example, mm-hmm. caregivers, people who saw the medical system from the other side of the bed. And so Bonnie's idea was to make this a journal that would be a dialogue, an ongoing dialogue where physicians could hear from patients, where nurses could talk to physicians, where caregivers could talk about what it's like to make that journey back to health, we hope. Sometimes we don't get there, but
right.
but it's a journey that everybody's on, and there are, you know, euphoric highs, and there are desperate lows.
And that's reflected in The Healing Muse. I mean, this is really the art of medicine, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It was fascinating to me as I went through it, and I've had this for a couple of months now because you so graciously sent one to me. I was fascinated by the different points of view from students to, as you said, caregivers, to patients themselves, to the loved ones of patients. Everyone seems to have their say, and you've also expanded this now way beyond Central New York, haven't you?
Yes, thanks to the web and our taking ads in some of the marketing journals for writers and artists. The Healing Muse is becoming well-known beyond the borders of Upstate.
Absolutely.
And Central New York.
This is your eighth one?
Our eighth year, yes.
You've been doing one a year.
One a year. Mm.
And people do submit, and they're juried, right? This,
yes.
This isn't like they send you something and you print it.
Yes, no, it's not like that. You have to be really good. Let me be prejudiced and say you have to be really good to get into our journal.
Who are the judges?
Rebecca Garden is the assistant editor, and she and I are essentially reading all of the pieces that come in.
And this is actually the work that you've been trained to do in many ways.
Yes, both she and I have backgrounds in literature, mm-hmm. and I'm a writer and creative writer, and Rebecca also has written. So, yeah, we come to this somewhat naturally, and we are housed in the Center for Bioethics and Humanities, so it's a natural fit there, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Are there a lot of academic medical centers that are publishing literary tomes?
There are some, actually. I would say that each year more come on, but the bad news is that with this economy, I've noticed some of them are going under.
Oh, dear.
But I think what you are finding, Tricia, is that medical universities do believe their students need a place and their practitioners need a place to talk about what it is they feel.
It presents some balance, doesn't it?
I think so.
Well, you have another piece to read to us, and this is from a caregiver.
Yes.
This is a woman who has written about her new relationship with her husband. And I'm going to ask you just to read a paragraph, just a flavor. We don't have time for the whole thing, but I think this will whet appetites.
Okay, I'd love to. It's called Meditation on Caregiving. I sleep with a ghost, my new roommate, a specter who is now impersonating my husband. My loneliness envelops me most when I'm home with my ghost. He wants us to huddle together, to curl up in our matrimonial cocoon, to keep me all for himself. He can't get enough of me, but I'm lonely as hell in that cocoon, that collapsing parachute of dementia where he's sucking up all the air and I can't crawl out fast enough.
Whoa. As many of our listeners know, my mother has Alzheimer's disease. And so when I first read that, it gave me goosebumps, I have to say.
Yeah.
And that's actually true with a lot of the pieces in this book, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, you know, it's so fascinating that we'll tell listeners now, we've invited you to come back on a probably once a month basis.
Oh, I'm delighted.
With some of the contributors as well.
Great.
To discuss some of the pieces in The Healing Muse. And we also want listeners to know that they can purchase copies of it if they would like to read ahead, maybe.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
And even request some of the contributors to talk to us.
Thank you for the shameless plug.
There you go. There you go. Well, tell us how listeners can get a hold of the copy of the book.
If you are right around the hospital, you can go into the hospital's gift shop. Upstate's gift shop. You can go into Upstate Medical University's bookstore in the CAB building, but you can also call 464-8463, and the person talking to you, Lois, on the other end of that line would be very happy to send you a copy. They cost $10. We have older copies of past issues that you can get at a reduced rate, $8. You can go on our website, which is www.thehealingmuse.org.
Very good. And we will make sure we put links to all of that from the HealthLink On Air website. You've given us a taste. You've whet our appetite. Dr. Deirdre Nealon from the Center of Bioethics and Humanities, thank you so much for coming by this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. The world's richest person, or what I want to be when I grow up. Well, dear listeners, a few weeks ago, I was surprised to read that the world's richest man, Warren Buffett, defines success in life as having as many people as we want to love us, loving us. That's been calming when my worry generator got going about the dismal state of my retirement plan. And I found it reassuring that research also shows that once we're out of poverty, long-term happiness has little to do with how fat our wallet is and much more to do with staying healthy and, again, good relationships. As the market has continued to tumble, I've stayed curious about what else we know about good relationships. Turns out a huge amount of research about success in a psychotherapy relationship is pertinent. What it shows is that the type of therapy isn't anywhere near as important as the therapist being genuine, warm, and understanding. And really good research about successful long-term romance shows something very similar and gives us how-to numbers. Partners need to make at least 5 positive communications to each other for every 1 negative, and preferably as many as 20 to 1 or more to stay together happily. Less than that, sayonara. Now, this past week, my wife and I drove to Philly for the 80th birthday party of a very, very dear friend, Yvonne. Pretty far to drive in the winter for a party, you think? Well, there were people there from New York City, Pittsburgh, Boston, D.C., Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, England, and mostly friends. And even the relatives seemed like they really wanted to be there. Talk about successful in love. How does she do it? Well, all of what we talked about applies. She's very rarely a noodlehead and almost always real, caring, understanding. Let me tell you a little story. Years ago, when our 2 boys were little, we were in Philly and Yvonne invited us to dinner. She took the boys to a bakery to pick out their dessert. They were thrilled looking at all the treats. Oh, look at that one with the whipped cream, and oh, look at the chocolate one, and oh, the one with the cherry. I'll give you a bite of mine if you trade me. Oh, I just can't decide. Me neither. Yvonne solved the problem. She told the baker, We'll have two of everything, please. Magic and unforgettable. I've had some of those moments with Yvonne myself. I don't know how to put them into words, really, but I'd like to invite you on a research expedition to discover how people like Yvonne make us feel so totally loved and love them back. While the market is up for grabs, I know the more we discover, the richer we'll get. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.